in 1978, when disco was on top,
I'm making it.
These guys partied to a different beat.
You know what KISS stands for? Knights in Satan's Service.
We just watched Jam's mom torch our KISS tickets.
Nobody's missing that concert tomorrow night.
We're not stealing my mom's car.
Damn right we are.
The night is young, filled with possibilities.
Beth? Yes?
Oh! Hey, you little corpse. Give me a KISS ticket or I'll pop your faces in.
KISS sucks!
You're the coolest.
Detroit Rock City.
It's a girl walking along the side of the highway. We should pull over and help her out. I mean, they make scary movies that start out like that.
Hey, but they make porno movies that start out like that too, man.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of a Surreal Shore production. I'm Justine, and I'm joined with my amazing co-host, Erica, from the Surreality Pod. Hi, Erica.
Rock and roll, Justine. How's it going?
Rock on. It's so fucking good. I'm so excited. We're talking about both of our favorite movie, Detroit Rock City.
One of many. When I was rewatching this the other day, like, what is us with us and like bro culture? Like, this movie is definitely aimed towards dudes. Would you agree?
I would agree. However, growing up when I was a kid, and I talked about this on my main feed episode that I just put out, but back in the day, you would watch movies over and over and over and over again because we didn't have streaming services. So it was like, did you do this at least too? This wasn't
me my entire life.
Okay, because you would own DVDs and they were expensive, so you just watch the same movie over. And I remember growing up, I would show this movie to all of my girlfriends. All of my girlfriends loved this movie. So although it is aimed towards men, it's girls love it too.
Mm-hmm. It was a girl that showed it to me for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I would have been 13 or 14 here. And I'm not friends with the girl. She was like my best friend at the time, and I don't fuck with her no more, but that's okay. I wish her the best. But she showed it to me, and then we had a group of four. It was us and then two guys. And of course, we watched it. We're like, oh, like, your trip, your hawk, yada, yada.
Right. And then I just watched Spice Girls thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched it, and I was Edward Furlong, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, watched it on a loop. It was definitely a movie that I would put on, like, as I was going to sleep or while I was getting ready in the morning. Because back in the day, for some reason, at high school, I would get up early enough to, like, almost watch a full movie as I was getting ready for school. Can't relate now. But, no, I fucking love it. I rewatch Detroit Rock City probably every couple years. It's a good one.
It's amazing, and I enjoyed rewatching it for sure. Have a lot of thoughts, but let's like talk about some other stuff first,
mm-hmm.
if you're down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, first of all, I do want to remind everyone listening to this, if you're listening on Erica's feed, I am giving away my Ron and Snooki tapestry thing. It's 60 by 50 inches. It's huge. No purchase necessary. I'm going to pay for the shipping out of my own pocket, all that stuff. Go to Shore Store Pod on Instagram and follow me to see the instructions on how to enter. I'm probably going to be doing the draw next week. So just want to get that out of the way.
Well, you guys, Mona Lisa, who, like, this is iconic art that Justine is giving away to a fan out of the kindness of her heart. It's like she said, it's fucking huge. It's iconic. You've had that behind you as long as I've known you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do it. Follow her. Do all of the things to get this iconic piece of American history in your house.
Another iconic Eddie Furlong movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to tell you about the show Baby Reindeer. So on Sunday afternoon, we were just going to watch the first episode and you know, and it's a mini series. I think there's 7 episodes. Okay. Ended up watching the entire thing in one sitting. It's based on a true story and a one man show in London, England. And the guy who it happened to, who wrote the show, who did the show, he's also the star of the Netflix show. So I didn't find that out till after, but now I kind of want to rewatch it knowing that it's actually him. And he was a struggling comedian in the UK, worked at a pub to pay the bills type of thing. And this woman came in and he felt really bad for her, bought her a cup of tea on the house, and she ended up stalking him. And when I say stalking, I mean to like the most extreme level, like hundreds of thousands of text messages and emails and crazy shit. But it goes a lot further into that because it's kind of this narrative of like, there's no perfect victim. And he kind of likes the fact that she's stalking him, and it takes him a very long time to go to the police, and they kind of victim blame him and everything. And they're like, well, you're a man and she's a woman. And it shows his backstory and all of this trauma that he has that kind of shows you like why he acts like he acts. And it is, so like I said, only 7 episodes. It is fucking phenomenal. Episode 4 specifically is, can be watched on its own, but it's a very hard watch. Like episode 4 is some of the most, and I like fucked up shit. This was some of the most traumatic fucked up shit I've ever seen. After I watched episode 4, I was like, I need to take a 10-15 minute break and just process that a little bit. But with all that being said, I recommend this to anyone. It is phenomenal. The acting in it, it's the girl who plays the stalker, she's definitely going to get some awards. She is insane.
Okay. So for you to say that it was disturbing to you, that is a bold statement. What is it? Okay, if you like had to give a trigger warning, I guess, which
sexual assault, and they do give a trigger warning at the beginning of the episode.
Okay, thank you.
So just a mini spoiler, I guess. Remember I said this guy's a struggling comedian.
Right.
He meets a movie producer in a bar and gets close to the movie producer who starts promising him things, and that's all I'll say.
Okay, interesting. All right. I'll give it a go. Did you watch any more of that show, The Trades, you had told me about?
So I was never like watching. Yeah. It was Blair who was watching, and I was just kind of like on my phone reading a book, tuning in and out of it. But I think all the episodes have aired. They were coming out every Friday.
Perfect.
But he loved it though.
Okay. We'll have to give that a go too. Because that's supposed to be a funny show and Baby Reindeer is more drama. So I got a good balance. Right. Going on here.
Exactly. And you know, even if you don't like it, it's Rob Wells, Ricky from Trailer Park Boys, so he's nice to look at either way.
I was gonna say he's still looking really good.
We've been watching like the old Trailer Park Boys episodes, like those classic ones, and I'm like, damn, like I was always into Julian, but rewatching now I'm like kind of feeling Ricky.
Yeah, no, they're both yummy for sure. That would be if we had. So for the Rock Fest, they're doing like the iconic trios day or whatever. That would be a good one, but we need a third if we were to do the Trailer Park Boys. But I want to dress slutty that day anyway.
Well, you can do Ricky and Lucy.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, that's a good idea too. There's so many good choices.
Yeah, there is.
Let's see. Try to think. Sean and I told you I was watching that Amy Schumer show on Hulu, Life and Beth. Sean and I have the challenge, which is a weekly thing right now. So we have to wait every week for a new one. I don't think we're watching. We've been watching a lot of old George Carlin stand up, which has been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Even the stuff from the like 70s and 80s, it's aged like a fine wine. I would say some of the stuff is even truer now that he jokes about back then. It's pretty wild.
I love that.
Happy 420 week, by the way.
Happy 420 week.
Which is why we're here. Which, Detroit Rock City, I don't know if I would call it a weed movie, per se, but I think it works.
It's definitely a movie that is, like, hilarious to watch when you're stoned. And by the way, my bad, because when I suggested that we do this, I thought this movie came out in, like, 01. So I'm like, oh, perfect for the early 2000s. 1999, yeah, this movie came out, although it is set in the 70s.
Right.
It was released in 1999.
We're cheating just a little bit.
We're cheating just a little bit. It was inevitable that we did an episode on this movie anyway. So yeah, what better time than 420?
It's 420 math.
It is 420 math. With the weed comedy thing. Okay, so for the last couple days, Blair's been bugging me to watch Dazed and Confused. And I've just been there's nothing about that movie that is that great to me. And I know that's a controversial take. But so we watched Detroit Rock City. And then right after, I'm like, you know what? Let's just do back to back. Let's put in Dazed.
Oh, what a double feature. Wow.
He was so bored during Detroit Rock City. He did not pick up his phone once. He was engaged from the very beginning. When Dazed and Confused came on, he was very much picking up his phone, standing up, going to do other things. And I'm like, I fucking told you, Detroit Rock City is a much better movie overall.
I'm not gonna say, okay. I fucking love Dazed and Confused. And when you first started to talk about this, my jaw was open because Sean and I had a similar conversation last year. Last year, I told Sean, I want to watch Dazed and Confused on 420. That's what I want to do this year. And he's like, that's not a weed movie. I'm like, Dazed and Confused isn't a weed movie? Are you kidding me? It's up there. It's in the top 10, I would say. So he didn't want to watch it. So I watched it by myself. I think it's a great movie. I would say it's on par with Detroit Rock City, in my opinion.
I think it's very much like slow. It's not a bad movie. It's just not, I don't know, it just doesn't go as quickly as Detroit Rock City does. I guess you have to have a little bit more of an attention span to not to follow it, but to be engaged in it, I guess.
Well, Dazed and Confused was another movie that I would watch constantly at the same age, this 14, 15 time, where I didn't smoke weed, but it was like, someday I will. And then when I finally did smoke weed, it turns out I was really bad at it. I'm the worst pothead ever. If I ever do a stand-up, it's going to be called Worst Pothead Ever, because like, I get paranoid. I think I peed myself at all times. I just, you know, don't want to talk to anyone. That's changed now. But no, I'm going to disagree with you there. I say Dazed and Confused is fantastic. And I think I think it was great you guys watched it back to back. I would go to a theater showing of a Detroit Rock City Dazed and Confused double feature.
Oh, yeah, I could see that happening.
Same time period. There's Kiss references in Dazed and Confused too. Mm-hmm. So it's fun. Great soundtracks.
Amazing. Also, some performances in Dazed and Confused that, like, it's one of those movies where you just see someone who's super famous now and you're like, oh, okay, this is where you kind of, this is where it started for you. Okay.
There's no overlap. There's no cast that were in both movies, is there? I don't think so. Okay. I wonder when they filmed. I wonder if they were filming at the same time, actually. I'm going to look into that while we're talking here. Have you ever seen Kiss live?
I've never seen Kiss live.
Okay.
I know.
I mean, I think this tour that they're still finishing up right now, I think is supposed to be their last one.
Kiss is one of those bands similar to the Rolling Stones where it's like, this is our last tour. No, we lied. No, this is actually every single year. No, this is the very last time, I swear.
Yeah. But now they're teasing this AI concert. Have you seen this?
No.
So
I'm not
now,
surprised, though.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I've seen Terminator too many times. Another Eddie Furlong reference. No, they're going to start doing AI concerts with images of them from when they looked younger. Which, I get it. It's a good way for people who maybe didn't get a chance to see them. Maybe if they're younger fans, which I do think there are younger Kiss fans.
So like a hologram type thing. Like, remember when there was the Tupac hologram at Coachella that one year? I would go see a Bob Marley hologram concert.
Sure. I don't know. I have seen Kiss live. So maybe that's why I'm just like, why would I do that when I could just go see them?
It's not the same as like hearing live music in front of you, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't like stuff like that. It just freaks me out. I don't know. And Instagram, now it's trying to get me to do this AI convo thing where I'm like, I just want to search. I don't want to do whatever you're trying to make me do. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable. Dazed and Confused came out in 1993. So it did not at all film at the
it's
same time.
It's that old?
I know. 30 Jesus. Years old. 30 years old.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, with that being said, okay. Detroit Rock City. Do you agree with me when I say it didn't age very well?
It's tough. I will partially agree. Like, there's definitely some things that they throw the F-bomb around, you know, a lot.
And not the F-U-C-K word. No. The other F word.
Yes, the three-letter one. But what I will say is that this is 1999. So, like, I don't want to excuse everything because it's like, oh, that's what you did back then. However, it is what it is. That's just what happened. But it's also a movie released in 1999 that's set in 1972. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's... Who knows what they were saying back then. But yeah, I mean, there's also some references with Natasha Lyonne when she's in the car that don't age very well. You know, like, oh, we picked you up off the side of the road. You're going to suck all our dicks, like that type of vibe.
Yes. And the fact that Ron Jeremy's in it. And it's also another thing that I was like, whoa, this is so weird, is Lin Shaye. Incredible fucking underrated scream queen, if you ask me. Her character always has a cigarette in her hand. She's smoking through the entire movie, but mm-hmm. she's yelling at her son for smoking weed and acting like he's like a freaking crackhead because he smokes mm-hmm. weed with his friends. It's mm-hmm. just so jarring to see someone chain smoke cigarettes and be against weed, because now weed is so much more accepted than mm-hmm. cigarettes.
What is her name again? Lin Shaye. Okay. She is fantastic in this. Some people may know her from the Insidious movies. And she's still kicking. I don't know how old she is. Born
she
in 1943.
She just did Monster Mania this year. Or I don't know if it already happened. She is doing it. I saw her on the appearances list. But her and Sam Huntington, however you say mm-hmm. his last name, that mm-hmm. casting for... mother son, holy shit, it is mm-hmm. fantastic casting.
Very, very good. Also, this movie's set in 1978, not 72. I just want to correct myself there.
Okay.
But no, she looks great now too. She's one of those people, and I know it's the way they dressed her and styled her and stuff, but I mean, she presents as older in that movie already, but that was 1999 and now we're in 2023 and she looks great.
Oh, she looks fantastic. She's one of those she's one of those actresses that's just like always been 45 years old.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Hulk Hogan came out a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to die on that hill. Jam's mom. So this movie, we got four high school kids. We got Hawk, Lex, Trip, and Jam. And they're finally going to get to see Kiss after missing them 3 years in a row. But then Jam's mom... burns the tickets after finding them, because she's like a church mom, anti-Kiss, devil's music type.
She doesn't just burn the tickets. She lights the tickets on fire and then lights her cigarette with the tickets inside Savage. A school.
Mm-hmm. I already pitched this to Jess. I think this movie needs to be remade right now, but with four girls trying to get to like Warped Tour or something. And like, it'll definitely have similarities to Detroit Rock City, and maybe they could have some cameos of the guys from Detroit Rock City in it. But that would be a perfect, because if this was made in the late 90s, it's supposed to be late 70s. You know, now we're in 2023 and it could be set in 2003. So it needs to happen. She needs to write it.
I would watch that.
Oh, fuck yeah. But yeah, so then they have to figure out how they're going to get to this Kiss show, and they travel to Detroit. Where were they in the beginning?
Cleveland.
Okay. And of course, you know, hijinks ensue. So that's basically, in a nutshell, kind of the plot of this movie. If you're listening to this and you've never seen it for some reason.
Which, if you haven't, turn this off, go watch it, and then come back, because you will not regret watching this movie. Like, there is something for everyone in this movie to an extent. Like, it will make you laugh.
How did you watch it?
I have a DVD copy of it.
Okay. I do as well. I also purchased it on Prime once upon a time, so that's how I watched it. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere for free, but yeah, I also own it on DVD.
Yeah, it's you might have to buy it, but it is easy to find.
Well, cast wise here, of course, we have Edward Furlong, which is probably the main draw for us here.
Right.
Huge Eddie heads over here. They don't outright say it, but I do get the vibe that his character Hawk is kind of the leader of the crew. You know, he's the lead singer, yada yada. He's kind of the glue that holds them all together.
Yeah, he's like the confident one that's always yeah, like he's the leader. It's his ideas. He's kind of out there. By the way, I can say this because he was 22 in this movie. What a beautiful fucking man. Like,
I
even when I
agree.
was watching this now, I was like, I got the same like feelings that I did as a little kid watching him.
I forever have a huge crush on him. And there's something just, there are certain dudes that have like Eddie Furlong energy or vibes to them. I don't know the name. I'm trying to look it up right now. But there's two I can think of off the top of my head. One being Henry Eikenberry. He was just in Lisa Frankenstein, which I watched this week. He plays the like newspaper editor that Lisa's into, but he's also the friend of young Cal in Euphoria that he ends up
Okay.
like having the romantic relationship. When I saw that guy, I'm like, oh, I know it's partially the haircut, but hardcore Eddie Furlong energy. And then the guy who plays Will's brother in Stranger Things.
I don't watch Stranger Things,
Oh,
babe.
okay. Okay. Well, he's one of the main characters, but same thing. Hardcore Edward Furlong energy. But no, he's cute as hell here. He's kind of, you could tell that he's starting to be adult Eddie here. You know, but no, he's great in this. You know, what was the next thing he did after this? Do you know? American History X, right?
Possibly American History X,
I feel
yeah.
like that would be before, actually.
I feel like American
American.
History X was after this. I could be wrong though,
Okay.
whatever.
Who else do you feel like stood out the most between the four here?
Well, Sam Huntington, I love him just from Not Another Teen Movie as well. I think he's so talented and so funny. But I would say James DeBello, who plays Trip, he's very much Jason Mewes in Jay
Oh,
and Silent
yeah.
Bob type of energy. Like, Blair actually asked me when the movie first started. He's like, that's not, I'm like, that's not Jason Mewes. No.
No. And he also, try to think. He was in American Pie. I know he had a quick role in that movie. And I feel like he's been in so many things,
He's
but I
in
can't
Cabin
remember what
Fever
else.
because one of my con friends just went to Horror Hound in Cincinnati and there was a Cabin Fever reunion and he was there. Along with dude from Boy Meets World
Right.
who wrote the character letter for that creeper. And he's
Hunter.
gonna be at Niagara Falls Comic Con too.
Oh, I'm aware. He was that Boy Meets World crew was probably who I was most excited to meet at this point. And then I'm like, well, true Erica fashion, everyone I love has got to be canceled in some way, shape, or form.
Honestly, though, like Kevin Spacey did a con last year. Like, I feel like people who go to cons, I don't want to say they don't care about that stuff, but they don't care about that stuff. Like,
Okay.
they just like want to get their poster signed. You know what I mean? Like, they don't. No,
Yeah.
no one's gonna pay that kind of money to walk up to someone and be like, fuck you, you're an asshole.
Oh, I think someone will. There's always one. I'm trying to think if there's anyone at the Twin at Twin Cities Con last year who was kind of a risque
X-Pac.
dude. That's what I was thinking is probably the most.
But even
Just
with
because of
him,
his
like
fans.
wrestling fans don't care about that stuff.
Oh God, no. Absolutely not. There
Wrestling
would be no
fans
fans.
and people who go to cons are very similar.
Charlie Heaton is this guy's name. I just wanted to show him to you quick.
Okay.
Eddie Furlong energy.
similar, yeah. But Eddie Furlong's a very special guy. No one can compare.
It's like Giuseppe Andrews, I believe. Also one of the four main characters.
Like, when I would watch it with my friends, like, they all had a crush on him.
Oh, really?
Because they knew that Eddie was mine, so it was like no one else was allowed to like him.
Yeah, that's who Jess would probably go for. She always, oh my god, like, when Eli came on to Degrassi and he pulled up in his fucking purse to school, Jess is like, oh, panties are off. Give me a disturbed skinny dude with,
hey,
like, dark
my panties
hair.
Are off for Eli from Degrassi too. I'm not even gonna lie. He's one of my favorite characters.
Oh my god. But yeah, very much
Claire
that
did, like, not deserve him.
I kind of fell off at that period of Degrassi. That's when I kind of left, jumped ship. But no, he's very much like, gives emo guy vibes, so I could see why people would fall for him for sure. Yeah, no, when you're talking about Not Another Teen Movie, I just love that movie so
that was another one that I watched 500 times. Do you, just off topic a little bit, do you like the scary movies?
Oh yeah, I fell off, I think, after one. Four.
I think the fifth one is the only one the Wayans brothers weren't a part of. Or no. Okay. No, never mind. They were a part of the first three.
They're not in four?
I don't think so.
Really? Okay. No, they're all good. I'd say my favorite, I mean, one is the classic one for sure, but I fucking love three. I love Scary Movie 3.
It's so good.
The hat scene, I think about that at least once a week. Just the hat progressively the getting bigger and bigger. You mean down the middle in half?
Like I said, I tried to rewatch Scream a couple weeks ago because I'm going to this con and it's the whole cast of Scream. And the whole entire time, I could not even take it seriously because I was just quoting Scary Movie in the back of my head the whole time.
I want to say Natasha Lyonne, who's fucking fantastic in this movie and everything she does. I want to say she dated Eddie around this time. Mm-hmm. They probably met here. Okay. I think they're still cool to the day, which is refreshing because I think pretty much every other girl that Eddie Furlong's dated has, you know, completely blocked him from his life, including his ex-wife with their son, yada yada. So I don't know, that gives us hope that he's a good dude.
Beyond the blinds, and like, take this with a grain of salt because it's a fucking blind item, like anyone could write it, but they were saying how he was a part of the Hollywood that would like pimp out the girls, and that he like pimped out Natasha.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Listen, he's one of those, and they showed him for like 2 seconds during the Quiet on the Set documentary when they were talking about like child stars go through stuff that we couldn't even fathom. He was just one where it was just like, and he told this story where they were going to put him in Terminator 3 and they had in the contract, like, if we find out you're using drugs, we're going to do the movie without you. So of course he gets this $1 million contract, whatever, goes to the club, ends up overdosing on cocaine at the club. So obviously the movie producers found out about it and they're just like, no.
Yeah. Did you watch that? I know Amanda and Jody recapped it a long time ago, but the Soleil Moon Frye Kid 90 documentary on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's really good. If you can watch it, watch it. So it's basically Soleil Moon Frye. She was the girl, she was the me in her teenage years. She like recorded everything on a video camera at all times. She was that girl. And she mentions at some point in the documentary how she, I think it was her first time having sex, and it was rape. And she didn't say who it was. But I know that she and Eddie dated for a long time, and there were people online who were speculating that it was him. But I don't think the timeline matches. I don't think. And I'm really fucking hoping not. But they don't show him in that documentary at all. And I think they're cool. They at least follow each other on Instagram. So I don't know what that means. But I know that there are people speculating that. And he dated Paris Hilton. And I think that relationship ended really badly as well. So, not great.
I'm assuming him and Paris did a lot of drugs together. Like, I can only imagine what that fucking relationship was like.
Sure.
He's been sober for 6 years now. And I think Holly, hashtag give Eddie a chance. Like, this podcast that I listened to him on when he was talking about his sobriety and stuff, he said, like, to the day, no one wants to cast him in anything or, like, give him a chance. And he's like, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but, like, I do think I can act and that, like, I am talented. And even the host was like, no, dude, like, you're one of, like, the most talented actors that's ever existed. Like,
aww.
You're allowed to say that. And he is, though. Like, he's so fucking good in everything.
Hey, man, I'm excited to see him in The Forest Hills.
Is that movie ever going to fucking come out?
I know. I'll have to reach out to the director again.
I feel like I've been hearing about that movie for years. And, like,
sure.
I understand it's getting a movie made is, like,
yeah,
insanely hard.
But, yeah, I'm excited for it. I really want it to come out, you know, however it does, online, DVD. I love a DVD. I'm very much going back to buying DVDs from, like, thrift stores or eBay. I'm loving it. I like having a tangible copy of shit.
I agree. And I really want to get my Detroit Rock City DVD signed by all four of them. That's, like, huge bucket list for me. If they did, like, a reunion at a con or something, I would love that. And when Eddie talks about doing cons, he always says, like, people love Detroit Rock City. It's like one of the number one things he gets when people come up to him, which is crazy considering, like, all the random shit he's been in.
So what are your favorite parts of this movie, would you say? What stands out to you the most?
Edward Furlong stripping.
Oh, I mean,
okay, this is another scene that did not age well, because although he was like 22 or something, his character was supposed to be
17.
Mm-hmm. And he bangs Shannon Tweed, who's 40.
I wonder how old she was here. It wouldn't surprise me if she was in her 30s, just because anything from the 90s or 2000s, you're like, oh, that person was probably 40, 50. And you look it up and you're like, oh, they were my age. Great. Awesome. I suppose that math wouldn't math. Because if she's, you know, probably the same age as Gene Simmons, roughly, you know. Okay, yeah, about 40. Yeah, 40, 41. You hit it on the
head. Gene, Shannon, and their kids were kind of like the new Osbournes, like after the Osbournes went off the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, I don't even remember the son's name, but I remember having such a crush on him too.
Oh, he gives the jam, or not jam, the Giuseppe Anders character vibes for sure.
Yeah, he's
Lex. I never watched that show. My dad did. And I feel like my dad always was like, Erica, you should watch it. You would love it. Because we watched the Osbournes together and I just never gave it a chance. I feel like it was on a weird channel.
Like, it was on like A&E or something.
Yeah. But yeah, one of my instructors from makeup school, she did Gene Simmons makeup once for something. She went to his house, set up in the dining room or whatever the fuck, did his makeup. And apparently Shannon Tweed watched her like a hawk the whole fucking time.
Oh, I believe it.
And he called her. Gene Simmons called her to do his makeup again, and she, like, ghosted his calls because she was like, that was a weird experience, I don't want to do again.
Oh, damn.
So she was like, no, I won't take that money. Like, but yeah, no, she, I would say, I keep wanting to call them cameos because there's so many great people in this movie, but I think she's the only technical cameo other than Kiss just themselves. You know, I guess Ron Jeremy's spot. Yeah, that's a cameo. But everyone else, it's like, it's not a cameo. It's just they were in the movie.
Right.
But to us, it's like, oh, that person's in this. That person's in this. yeah, Ron Jeremy plays the, like, not DJ, host?
Yeah,
I guess, at this male strip club in Detroit that Eddie Furlong strips to try to win money to buy Kiss tickets to. And it would have been about 2 years before his Surreal Life stint. So right around that time period. And he basically just plays himself, making the same lame dad jokes he always does.
Is he in prison right now? Okay, thought so.
Yeah, he was arrested a few years ago, and now they're, I mean, he's old and he looks like shit, but I think people have thought that he's really leaning into, like, I'm so old and, like, I'm not well. I can't even stand trial, that type of deal. So, but yeah, no, he's in jail in L.A. Or prison in L.A. Of course, we get Kiss themselves in the movie. They don't have, like, any lines, really, but we see them partying backstage. And, of course, they perform at the very end. They had a huge hand in the movie. Most, I took a note from Pete and Scott over at Movies That Made Us Gay, and I read the IMDb trivia. And apparently most of the Kiss merchandise in this movie came from Gene Simmons.
Okay.
Like, from his collection. Yeah. And they had,
like,
a huge
in the
hand
beginning in... scene when they're, like, in the garage
practicing,
performing. Yeah.
I think they produced it, or at least partially. I'm sure, just because, you know, the movie's obviously about getting to a Kiss concert, so I'm sure they wanted to make some calls.
Well,
you know?
Doesn't Kiss have the most merchandise of, like, any artist in the world? Like, I know there's Kiss caskets you can get buried in. Like, so it would only make sense for Kiss to have a movie about them, or about a comedy about fans trying to get to their concert. It would only make sense.
Right. I forgot to mention, I am in my Kiss shirt right now, which I got from the Kiss actual website, so this ain't no, like, Target fucking band shirt. This is a licensed official Kiss shirt.
And I'm sure you could actually name three Kiss songs if someone came up to you.
Absolutely.
I love the meme of Bobby from King of the Hill, like, his brain about to explode. It's like,
yes,
me having three songs named memory.
By the way, the intro to this movie, after the beginning scene where Jam's mom finds the Kiss record hidden and she goes to his house and yells at him, we get an opening credit, like, montage where Love Gun plays by Kiss, which is probably my favorite Kiss song. And we see all this, like, 70s memorabilia and, like, things that were happening, stuff with Richard Nixon. I love that montage so much. I think every period movie should have an opening like this to try to, like, get you in the spirit of the time period.
Yeah, so I agree. It's good. And it goes by quick, too, which was unheard of for a movie that came out around this time. Because whenever I watch older movies, I feel like the opening credit scene takes so long sometimes for the actual movie to start. Because, you know, back then we used to actually have attention spans. But this one was good. It was engaging. It went by quick. Maybe just because I love Kiss and I love the song too. But yeah.
It does go by quick. I agree. I thought the same thing when I had it on the other day. I miss shows having opening credits, though. Or, like, theme songs. We usually just have either Poker or the Challenge Pluto channel going on our TV if we just need some background noise. And sometimes if we're sitting down to watch something, but an episode of the Challenge is starting, I'm like, no, we have to watch the opener first. Because, like, the Island season, because everyone's different, the Island season, they have Shine Down, Devour play.
Oh, and it's really?
So, yeah. And it's so, like, early 2000s, like, the cast looking at the camera giving, like, attitude, and I just love it. So now they just do, like, the Challenge, like, quick frame. They don't do a whole opening
just
montage.
Like the title card.
Yeah And I miss shows having more of a thing, like the Vanderpump Rules opener. Like, that's a beloved thing that they keep up with.
It's classic.
So I miss that. The other thing with this movie that kind of, I feel like every time I rewatch this happens, I forget how much of the movie is set in Detroit. Or, spoiler alert, I guess not spoiler, but, like, it's actually in Canada.
Yeah, it's a lot of it was filmed in Hamilton, which is my hometown. And every movie that is, like, supposed to be Detroit is filmed there. Like, a lot of 8 Mile was filmed there. Four Brothers was filmed there, because Hamilton looks so much like Detroit, and it's a lot cheaper to film there. So I was looking it up, and a lot of the scenes were most of it was Hamilton. The concert at the end was Cops Coliseum in Hamilton, which is also where the very first Royal Rumble ever was held.
Shut up.
Fun fact.
Cool.
And but a lot of it was like Toronto and Scarborough as well. So, but the highway scenes, I'm pretty sure that's the highway that's like when you drive to Detroit, like Windsor to Detroit. So where I went when I was going to SummerSlam, that highway, and it looks very much like the Cleveland highway. So it makes sense. But yeah.
Okay. Well, the thing is, so when I think of this movie, I think of so much of the plot being the opening at the high school, them escaping high school, and then being in the car getting to Detroit. I think that whole thing gets done in about 35, 40 minutes. I feel like I remember that being so much of the plot, but then they get to Detroit and the whole second half of the movie kind of begins.
Yeah.
Like, I remember it as they show up. Of course, they find out that Trip fucked getting the tickets up from the radio station. And I knew like a couple crazy things happen, but then they get to the show eventually. But we're getting each of their storylines, how they're getting to the show, you know, whoever, whatever girl they end up with. It's a lot of the plot is actually there, which makes sense because the movie is Detroit Rock City. But I always forget that it's not like, you know, the last 30 minutes of the movie. There's like an hour set in Detroit.
Same. Like the Trip and the convenience store scene, like totally forgot that happened until the movie started. And that's like the main ending to the movie. Like that scene is very crucial to the ending of the movie. So it was just so weird because I completely agree. When I think of this movie, I think of like a road trip comedy, them in the car.
Exactly. But so yeah, once they get to Detroit, the four of them split up, and Edward Furlong goes to this male strip club to try to win money to buy tickets from a scalper. Trip goes to the convenience store, and his plan is to rob it. Or no, he was gonna rob a kid. This kid actor who's definitely been in other shit, I can't remember what off the top of my head, but this like 10-year-old boy. Who, and then he gets mixed up with this kid's like 40-year-old older brother.
Yeah, he's like my older brother, and this guy Chongo is his name, and this guy Chongo turns around and he's like 50 years old. Like
what's the family dynamic here?
Yeah, you definitely have different moms or something,
right. There's that jam. His mom, who he thinks is at a church meeting this evening, is also in Detroit doing like a moms against kiss rally type of thing. She finds him, so she brings him to church and tries to get him to confess, you know. And then of course he runs into Melanie Lynskey, which another great, not cameo, but just appearance in this movie. She's so fucking cute here.
I know.
And they, you know, say their goodbyes because her family's moving, yada yada. And then Lex, I guess I don't know what his really technique was, but he sneaks backstage at the Kiss show, gets stuck in this, like, what is it? Like one of those car places where they steal cars. Oh, it's because his mom's car is there. That's right. His mom's car gets stolen and they're like scrapping it for parts.
I also never clued in on this, that the license plate said like OB Gyno or whatever. And
oh yeah,
and in the first scene they make a joke like, your mom,
she's a female
just because she's a female gynecologist doesn't mean she's a lesbian.
Besides, at least my mom didn't give birth to me on LSD.
shrooms.
And then he runs into Natasha Lyonne's character, and somehow all these dudes end up with girls at the end too. Not that the girls go to the concert with them or anything, but of course Edward Furlong gets to have sex with Shannon Tweed, Lex gets Natasha Lyonne, Trip with the convenience store girl, and Jam with Melanie Lynskey. So yeah, that's just another like tie into the movie.
Another person who I didn't even realize it was this person in the movie until this watch was Sloan from Entourage.
Oh yeah,
was
great
Chris,
one.
Christine's other friend.
Yeah, Beth.
The Stellas and Guidos, they call them.
I will say, I fucking love the styling of the Stellas, they call them, like the disco chicks in this movie. They all look so fucking cute. I love their makeup. I love their hair. Just Aquanet to the stars. But their makeup is so, like, colorful. And, like, I love the clip of Natasha putting on the huge fucking lip balm. Mm-hmm. Like, the glue stick size lip balm. I just think that they all look so cute here. But no, that's a fun dynamic between the two of them. She's another person. I feel like she's kind of looked the same for a long time. I haven't seen her recently, but
yeah.
There's a solid 10 years between this and Entourage, and she looks like exactly the same.
Yeah, she's
mm-hmm.
beautiful. I love her.
Mm-hmm. The guys in the car, though, I don't know anything about those dudes. Like, I don't remember them from anything else.
No, they're just randoms. And the guy who was like the guy who stole the car at the end, I don't
oh,
know
yeah.
that actor's name, but he's like one of those actors that's just in everything.
Absolutely.
As soon as this movie started, I was like, fuck, I wish that I was around in the 70s. Like,
oh, of course.
I wish that I was like in my early 20s or something in the 70s. Like, I would 100% be a Kiss groupie. I would be like a groupie for like Jimi Hendrix, like all of those fucking people.
Like our parents' age. I feel like everyone kind of thinks that way because my dad said the same thing when I've told him this. Like, my parents were born in the 60s and my dad's a little older than my mom, but like he did live his teens through the 70s, you know, like Kiss Army, whole nine. My mom was born in the late 60s, so she got to have her childhood in the 70s, her teen years through the 80s, and then got to live her 20s to the 90s. Like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Sounds so fucking fun. Oh, shoot, I lost my train. Oh, the depiction of the adults in this movie, too. So extreme. Like, obviously, we're watching this through these teenage boys' eyes. But, like, the teachers are all so evil. Don't give a fuck. Straight up, like, laughing at these kids, talking down to them. Which, in real life, teachers are just trying to fucking get by.
Mm-hmm.
Walking on eggshells. But Jam's mom is obviously, you know, like, not a character, but she's very extreme. Like, a hyper-religious mom. It's just interesting to me, you know, the way they make adults look in teen movies like this.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, something I wanted to mention from the IMDb trivia. This movie, so it's rated R. And apparently they really wanted to edit it down so it would be a PG-13 movie. But then as they were doing this, they were like, this movie is going to suck ass. We can't do this.
How is this rated R? What's R in it?
Strong
there is
language.
There is tits at the end in the Kiss concert, but that's the only thing I can think of.
Strong language, drug use, and sex-related content.
That is crazy to me because there's the language or whatever, yeah, but you hear that in PG-13 movies, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the drug use is literally just, mushrooms too, because they put mushrooms on the, which by the way, that's the cosplay that I want to do. I want to do Eddie Furlong's outfit with the pizza pig hat.
Oh, that's so smart. That's a whole other part of the plot we didn't really mention. When Jam's mom, after she burns the tickets, oh, I remember what I was going to say. After she burns the tickets, she takes Jam from school and drives him to this like religious school, Catholic school, charter, whatever you call them, boarding school, and is going to put him in there. And he meets with this priest and another character of an adult, like this priest, you know. He steals money from the, what do they call it? The givings, donation box, whatever the fuck.
Is that commissary? No.
I didn't grow up in the church.
That's what they call it in prison.
It's not commissary. Whatever, the donation bin.
I just think of that episode of The Simpsons where it's like he pokes him again, then he empties his pockets.
Yeah. He steals money from that to pay for the pizza, and he's like a huge dick to Jam, who's a minor, and then they put mushrooms on his pizza, and then the priest is like high out of his mind, and then they get Jam out of the school. But the other thing I wanted to mention was, if this movie were made today, even if it were, I guess if it were like a Warped Tour movie in this movie that I'm making up in my head, back then you still had paper tickets, correct?
Mm-hmm.
For like a Good Charlotte show, whatever the fuck. If this were to be made today, I was talking to Sean about this while we had it on. It was like, yeah, you couldn't even like steal his phone and throw it in the lake or whatever if like the mom were to try to ruin their chances of going to this concert, because then Jam could just be like, oh, it's okay, I'll just log into my Ticketmaster account on someone else's phone, no worries. Like, the mom character would have to log on to his Ticketmaster and like sell the tickets
and like transfer them to herself or something.
Yeah, so that kind of ruins the Detroit Rock City wouldn't happen now just out of the sheer lack of paper tickets these days.
Well, if you did that movie and it was four girls, who would you cast?
Ooh, I didn't plan ahead for this, but let's do it. This is fun.
Sydney Sweeney would have to be one of them, right?
I will give Sydney Sweeney. Oh, that wouldn't work. Never mind. I was gonna say I'd give her the convenience store clerk role. I guess one of the characters could be gay.
The convenience store girl, just to go off a little bit.
Uh-huh.
That bitch, she's like, I'm just a high school kid. Pure crow's feet, four headlines, 3 pounds of makeup. I'm like, this bitch is supposed to be in high school.
Sure. I will say, I don't know. I'm not really thinking Sydney Sweeney is as talented of an actress as you. I will say I'd like to put Sadie Sink, who's also from Stranger Things. She's the redhead from from Stranger Things. I'd like to see her maybe as like the Jam role. Other than that, I think Zendaya could be one of the characters. That might be fun, you know. Just, she's good at playing a moody teenager.
I was gonna say,
yeah,
definitely her.
Other than that, I don't know who I know that's this young anymore. Apparently, Gene Simmons also like hand chose Natasha Lyonne as her character to play Christine.
Another problematic thing, because obviously the two main girls are named after Kiss songs, like Christine, right? 16 and Beth.
Mm-hmm.
Christine 16, also very problematic song.
Oh yeah, or that other song every time it comes on my hair metal radio station on Sirius Radio. She's only 17.
I know.
I also wanted to mention other cameo in this movie, not technically a cameo, but the scene where Lex is backstage at the Kiss show trying to sneak in. We get this whole party scene of like Kiss partying it up before their show, just hundreds of women backstage, mm-hmm. like naked, walking around. There is a scene when we see a bunch of people hanging out in a hot tub, just a very quick clip, maybe 5 seconds long. They're like drinking champagne, whatever. One of the girls, she's to the left. One of the girls is Laylene, aka Smiley from Flavor of Love season 1 and Charm School season 1 and I Love Money season 1.
What?
I know. She's got a wig on, so it's kind of hard to spot her. But when you do realize it's her,
well,
like you.
Just yeah. The fact that this movie was filmed in Canada, that's what blows my mind about it. Because it's like you think they would just have like random Canadians as the extras.
I didn't. Yeah, I'm not sure if she's Canadian or anything. But no, a fun other VH1 tie-in. So we have Ron Jeremy and Laylene. I thought that was good. Apparently, the original cut of this movie was over 3 hours long. So there was a shit ton of stuff on a cutting room floor somewhere. I don't know if your DVD has bonus features, I don't remember if mine does. I feel like I would have watched them by now, or at minimum listened to the commentary.
When I put in the DVD, it just went straight to playing the movie. There was no menu.
Oh, one of those.
Or anything like that. So I was like, really? There's no menu on this fucking thing? That's the best part about owning a DVD is like commentary and the bonus features. Okay, so you were actually right about American History X being before this movie.
Yeah,
came
yeah,
out
yeah.
A year before.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Edward Furlong's IMDb and it says The Forest Hills is 2023. That needs to be updated because that movie still has not come out.
Maybe you can buy the DVD like directly from their website or something. I feel like I would know that by now, you know? Apparently, they filmed the strip scene with Edward Furlong in 4 takes. And apparently, Ace Frehley's daughter was supposed to have a scene with Edward Furlong, but then Gene Simmons made the decision to cut it. And it says, Ace said that ever since then, he never looked at Gene Simmons the same way ever again. That's the other thing, is I'm pretty sure Kiss fucking hates each other. I feel like my dad's told me that for a really long time. Like, they don't talk outside of... They don't talk outside of concerts.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, same thing with Motley Crue, I'm pretty sure, though. I think they all hate Vince.
There was a reason why Blink-182 has broken up twice. Which, by the way...
Is Tom the dick?
Yes. So, okay. Which, by the way, if we... Well, we're going to do Meet the Barkers. But on the second... Blink-182 broke up between season one and season two of Meet the Barkers. But it's just not acknowledged on the show at all. Of Blink-182 or Plus 44, it's just not acknowledged at all. Anyways,
interesting.
We'll get to that when we do our Meet the Barkers episode.
Right. I was just looking up the guys' ages in this just to see how old they were while filming. And I know you said Eddie was 22. James was 19. I hope I'm saying his name right. Giuseppe. It wouldn't be Giuseppe. That wouldn't make sense.
I just say it like Giuseppe.
Giuseppe. Yeah. He would have been about 19, 18 as well. So they're actually age appropriate, which for a 90s movie, that's also kind of rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's one thing I do love about 90s slashers is that everyone is clearly like 27, 30 years old. And they make fun of that in Scary Movie, obviously.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Amanda was considered for the role of Hawk, Edward Furlong's character, which I think also could have worked. But I guess Edward Furlong originally auditioned for Tripp's character. So I think in an alternate universe, this would work. I do.
I could actually see that too. Mm-hmm. But I love Edward Furlong so much as the lead.
So the concert that happens at the end of the movie, that's... They did like an actual like show for this for 3,000 people. It was like a recreation of an actual tour they did, which I like that dedication to detail. I like that kind of stuff. Giuseppe Andrews and James DiBella would later star together in Cabin Fever. I don't remember that. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. That only came out a few years after this. Mm-hmm. Also, Giuseppe was in American History X as well.
Seriously?
I guess. Yeah, he's in the, like, when they go to the Nazi party, I guess, later in the movie where Furza Bulk shows up and stuff. He's one of those guys.
What a fucking good movie.
I was just going to say, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I don't know if I need to watch it again. You know,
I watched it, like, 5 years ago or something, maybe, like, somewhat recently.
I've probably watched it in the last 10 years. And it's one of those movies, I think back when I watched it when I was younger, it was so, not taboo, that's not the right word, but it was just so crazy to watch it with such a young mind, being like, whoa, this all exists. And now, like, as a 33-year-old, I watch it, and I'm like, yeah, this definitely exists. Like, I'm very aware this does. I don't need a reminder.
I just think it's crazy how well Edward Furlong looks bald because he has a face that you would think he would rely a lot on his hair, but he pulls it off very well.
No, man, he got those cheekbones. You can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking in my Rock of Love episode that I'm posting today. about how good a lot of guys, how much better a lot of guys would look if they just shaved their heads.
Oh yeah. Austin
So,
Matthews, he's like the star player for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And yesterday before the game, like, you know how they show them like going into the arena or whatever before the game. He has like slicked back hair, but it goes back so far, like ridiculously far back hairline. And this guy's like, I don't know, 25 years old or something. And I said the same thing. Just shave it, bro. You got millions and millions of dollars. You do not need your hair.
It's rough. People say that like men age like fine wine while women are the ones that have to suffer with aging, but I don't know, man. When I went to my 10-year reunion, I remember looking at the women and thinking they all looked pretty much the same from high school, but I was looking at the dudes and like a lot of them were already losing their hair or like had the beer guts or dad bods. And I was like, ah, the guy's gonna look like shit.
Well, I just think, I don't necessarily think that men age better than women. A, it's all how well you take care of yourself. 'Cause, like, look at someone like fucking Devon Sawa. Like, that guy works out. He's fucking ripped. Like, he's hot as balls still. He's even hotter now than he was back then. But, you know, like, you don't take care of yourself, whatever, you're obviously going to age like shit. But I think it's people just find it more, I guess, acceptable for men to be older. Like, when women start getting lines in their face and everything, it's like, oh, throw them away. You know, whereas men, it's like more acceptable to look like that, I guess. But it's all about how you fucking take care of yourself. Like, I think if you stay working out, like, you're gonna be hot for the rest of your life. Like, I love the memes of like, there's like two older women, and like, one is like hunched over with a cane with like short gray hair. And then the other one is like ripped and like tanned. And it's like, both these women are the same age. You pick your path.
I mean, genetics take a big part in that too, though. Like some people are just lucky, man. I have some clients that come in and I will analyze their skin and it'll be like, wow, like it looks like you drink a lot of water and, you know, like avoid the sun. And sometimes people are like, I do. Like I barely ever drink water, yada yada. And then I'm just like, well, you're just lucky then.
Yeah.
Like, let's do our best to prevent any future shit, you know, like you're just one of those people who has good genetics. Another fun fact with the movie, I guess one of the women who play one of the other like kiss protesting moms in the Detroit scene is actually Ace Frehley's wife, or I'm sorry, Paul Stanley's wife,
Okay,
or
that's
at least
funny.
was. So that's a fun bit. Jason Biggs has a quick like a cameo in the movie. It was like 15 minutes in, it said. Jason Biggs, also from American Pie, obviously the American Pie guy. I lost it on my
15
list
minutes
here.
in.
15 minutes in. I'll define it again here.
In
But I
the high
mean,
school?
it would have to be, right? I'll
I've
find it.
never noticed him. And
Oh, I
American
never did.
Pie is also one of my favorite movies.
I feel like that's another thing that I love. Like I just saw a meme today that was like me Googling something at 2 a.m. to confirm that this person who said one line in this sitcom also said a line in this other sitcom, and this talent doesn't contribute to anything else in society.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
being a human walking IMDb will do nothing for you
Oh,
most
I
of the
know.
year.
I'm like that meme of the guy's like head about to explode because he's like trying to hold in that he's to tell everyone that he's vegan. That's me when a movie's on. I'm always like, he was in this. Like, I can't help myself but to say it. And
Yes.
it's I know it's an annoying like thing that I have, but I can't help but be that way.
Same. Jason Biggs is seen at approximately 15 minutes, 1 second in, wearing a red tracksuit and brown mullet. I'm going to confirm this before we wrap it up here. No, I'm a sucker for a coming of age flick in general, even to the day. I love movies about like, you know, Dazed and Confused, that's the last day of high school. I fucking love that movie. I think about it every year around when school gets out. I love that kind of shit. I love a movie about, like, you know, what's to come next, being a teenager, you know, emerging into adulthood, the excitement of what life's gonna bring you, even in my 30s. I love that type of shit.
Another thing in Detroit Rock City that would never happen is how they get into the concert, because they're like, fuck it, let's just, because Trip has the idea, like, let's just beat each other up and say that someone stole our tickets or whatever. And then Eddie Furlong's like, yeah, fuck it. Like, what's the worst that's gonna happen? Might as well. I love that scene of them beating the shit out of each other. And then when they go to the door, they're like, you know, these guys stole our tickets, whatever. They're all bleeding, look like shit. And then it's the like convenience store douche who has the tickets, and they point him out. But like, now that would never happen, obviously.
Thank you for bringing this up. I wanted to mention that. So I disagree. I could do without that whole beating each other up scene. I feel like it seems like it should be a deleted scene. I feel like it doesn't make sense. It's such a weird, random, let's throw this in bit. But yeah, they've all tried separately to figure out a way to get into this fucking Kiss concert that's about to start. And after they all come together again, they decide we're going to beat each other up, and then they'll have to let us in because they'll be like, oh my God, you guys got your tickets stolen. These people wouldn't give a fuck
No.
if these four dudes came up and were like, oh my God, our tickets got stolen and they beat the shit out of us. Like, please help us. They would be like, sorry about it. Like,
Yeah, you,
that sucks.
especially somewhere like Detroit.
Yeah.
they don't give a fuck.
And this actually, like you said, is a huge tie-in to the movie because as they're making this plea while they're bleeding and shit, clothes are all ripped up, being like, please let us in. We see 65-year-old Chongo and this kid and their friends walking by, and they stole Tripp's wallet when they have their whole side plot line. So James DeBello's character is like, hey, look in their pockets. He has my wallet with my Kiss photo ID, which I'm sure to people who were in the Kiss army and stuff back in the day, that was like a huge, I bet that was like an awesome little Easter egg. But yeah, they have his wallet, so therefore they're able to, like, be like, he stole our tickets. And I guess they perfectly had four tickets, lucky them. So all four of them were able to get into the show. I think they could have skipped the whole let's beat the shit out of each other and just went to that. I think that would have worked just fine, personally. Gosh,
I
Eddie's
mean,
so
I just
cute.
think it's funny because I think it is something that four teenage boys would do.
Oh, yeah. Because they're
Like,
stupid.
yeah, guys are just that stupid that they would, but yeah.
Yeah. I am at 15 minutes, 7 seconds. I really just want to confirm this before we go. If Jason Biggs is actually in Detroit Rock City and just no one's been knowing this whole time.
Jason Biggs is someone that if I met him, I wouldn't say, "Hey man, love you in American Pie." I'd be like, "Love you and loser."
Really?
I think I would say that to him.
Oh, Loser. I love that movie. I am more of a Loser fan than an American Pie fan. I agree.
Oh, I think American Pie is a much better movie, but I love Loser.
I
Every
would.
I still to this day say all the time, "It's water,
Water,
man. Let it
man, let it
dry."
dry. That happened yesterday. My kid had her like sippy cup or whatever on our couch, and it just had water in it. But it was sideways for like a while, and I didn't notice, so it all just spilled on the couch slowly over time. And whatever, exactly. It's just water. Let it dry, man.
Let it dry.
Okay, I would never in a million years pick up this. Oh, I just missed it again. It's so quick. You would never know in a million years it's him. In fact, if someone were to be like, that IMDb trivia is bullshit, that's not him, I'd probably believe them. I'll show it
Okay.
to you. If I can pause it at the, because literally a second. It's when Jeremiah's mom
Oh, that's
is,
Jason Biggs.
yeah, speaking over the intercom, being like, this is your mother, get the fuck down here, whatever, whatever. And like all the class starts laughing, which that would never happen either. There's a scene of a guy sitting at his desk wearing this crazy fucking mullet wig and red Adidas shirt, and he's laughing. And I would have never known that in a million years.
That's
But,
insane. So random.
also, this soundtrack of this movie, I kind of mentioned it earlier, fucking banging. We got Cheap Trick, The Runaways, Thin Lizzy,
The Ramones.
The Ramones. Matt Bea, he loves the Ramones. You know, that was a bad Matt Bea.
Iron Maiden.
Really good soundtrack. I will say this till the day I die. I have always preferred movie soundtracks to like actual artist albums.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, just because I like the mix. I'm an only child. I watched a lot of movies growing up. I wasn't like outside playing with other kids. I was always watching movies. I think that was just like went along with it. You know, like obviously we have our recap podcast now, and I think that was just kind of an early version of doing this, you know, like, hey, I love this movie. I'm going to listen to the soundtrack over and over again to the movie I just watched. I don't know. So really good soundtrack. 1999 was a good time for movies, I will tell you.
Super agree with that. I've been listening to a lot of Kiss and a lot of that kind of music since I watched this movie earlier this week. Kiss's music just makes me like hyper. Like, I don't know another way to describe it. It just like makes me like want to go take a run.
Yeah, it's definitely so. Of course, you know, it's like the greatest rock band ever. And like, obviously, at the time, they were known as like, you know, a hardcore rock band, which now you listen to it and I want to say pop, but I get a lot more of like a, to me, I don't listen to Kiss and think like metal, you know?
No. Mm-mm.
It's like a rock band, clearly.
Yeah.
But compared to fucking Rammstein or something, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's a lot more of an easy listen, I guess.
Yeah, totally. And I also, like, we get like the juxtaposition or whatever of like the disco type people as well in the movie, which we talked about. Know all the words to that song that they sang in the car just from how many times I've seen the movie. Like as soon as that came on, I'm like, I'm solid gold.
I got the goods.
And I love the line, like, you know, disco's so big, I bet Kiss will do a disco record one day. And they're like, yeah, if it's one thing Kiss will never do is a bullshit disco record. And of course, Kiss's disco record is like, I think I Was Made for Loving You is like their highest selling song.
Oh, is it?
I think so. I could be wrong, but I think so.
But I love Kiss poking fun at themselves like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite things that anyone can do is laugh at themselves, make a joke about themselves. Yeah. Happy 420, everyone. Enjoy
Happy
your holidays. You know, we had the original idea to do High Hopes, the straight to DVD shitty Eddie Furlong movie, and we couldn't find it, yada yada. That's okay. I love talking about Detroit Rock City, and I'm very excited to see whatever we do next year for 420.
I think I'm going to go on an Eddie Furlong movie kick now. Like, I do this every couple years when I see him in something. I'm like, I need to watch all of his movies. I think I'm going to go back to Sexy Baby times, watch some Terminator 2.
Sexy Baby. Original Sexy Baby.
Yeah. Did you also, I can't believe I forgot to mention this. Did you know that he is the child to a teen mom? So maybe his mom had him when she was 17. So maybe that's another reason why we low-key connect with him so much.
She's only 17.
He's got that teen mom vibes.
Yeah. I don't think I knew that. If I did, maybe I forgot. Because I'm sure I've definitely like read everything I can about him before. But no, that did probably kind of start everything off for him. And then obviously the whole fucking dating is... What was she, his teacher? Or something.
Yeah, so
so gross. Yeah, on her part. Yeah, Eddie, if you're listening, we love you. And if anyone's listening who wants to cancel us for liking him, go fuck yourselves.
And we're gonna meet him at a con soon.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
And we're gonna become friends. It is what it is. But no, when Edward Furlong, when I read that he was gonna be in Green Hornet back in like 2010 or whenever that was, I was so fucking excited. And he has such a small role in it, and he looks like shit because he's supposed to like play a homeless character or something, houseless, whatever you want to fucking call it. And I remember even being so excited for that, though. Like, I was like, he got a role. I'm so happy for him.
I know.
Yeah, maybe he'll have like a Robert Downey Jr. comeback, you know?
Oh, I wish.
He's lost time. How old is he? 40?
Yeah, he's in his 40s.
Okay. So it could still totally happen, man.
I didn't realize he was like full 46. Blown heroin addict. Like, I thought he was just like a hardcore drinker who like dabbled in drugs. I didn't realize like how bad his addiction was.
I thought it was meth. I thought it was just meth.
He was like telling a story like he was like with this girl and like they were doing heroin together and he was talking about like the last time that he used and everything and what made him get sober. And he was just like, yeah, you know, I felt like a piece of shit because I knew like she wouldn't be using it if I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is so fucked. But yeah. Apparently he's been sober for 6 years. He like
That's
looks
awesome.
He looks great. I am looking forward to meeting him at a con one day and breaking down in tears. And it's funny though, because this podcast I was listening to him on, he was like, you know, I don't really understand the whole con thing. Like, I don't really get it, but I like doing it because it's like it's nice to make people happy. And I'm just like, oh, wait till you meet me. You don't understand it.
That's so funny. He's basically being like, yeah, I don't understand these fucking nerds and why they want to meet me, but
well,
good for you.
I totally get what he's saying though, because he's been in movies since he was 13 years old. So it's like, to him, it's just his job. These are his like peers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he never like, it's not someone like, I don't know, the Terrifier people or something who didn't get into it until they were a little bit older. So to them, they like grew up idolizing these people they do cons with. Like for him, it's just like, I don't understand why you're excited to meet an actor, you know?
Mm-hmm. I didn't really get it either until I went to mine last year, my first one, Twin Cities Con. But it's everything I love. It's like honoring / praising celebrities who are like 20 years past their prime, allegedly.
Yeah.
A lot of them, at least, not all of them, but it's that. It's usually very like retro 90s 80s esque. I love a costume, and I really respect and love when people just put like the best details, like they really focus on those little details with their costume. I can totally respect that. Yeah, you know, I always looked at that kind of shit and I'm like, ah, fucking nerds. And I still say that, but then people mm-hmm. are like, well, Erica, you like wrestling and you went to a con, like you're a fucking nerd. And I'm like, I'm not a fucking nerd. I'm not one of those people. yeah, I mean, we got the 420 special coming up, which I know you're going to be like manning the comment section, right? Yeah, so that'll be over.
We'll see
on,
if I make an appearance.
Okay, special appearance from Justine Elizabeth. I like it. So that will be, so we're going to put this out tomorrow on Friday. Saturday is the 420 special, which you could apparently find on either the We Love to Hate TV Patreon, Pod in the City Patreon. I don't have a Patreon. Amanda keeps telling everyone that she, you can find it on mine. I don't have one. But so don't go looking for a Patreon. I don't have one. But yeah, I'll be on there. Justine will be there in some way, shape, or form. We'll be doing 420 stuff, talking about 420 things. I did not pick Aviva LaBam like I was supposed to before today. I think I'm either going to do the Mall of America episode just because it's Mall of fucking America.
Mall of America, and we know it's on YouTube. So
yes,
it's easy to find.
Safe.
Because that's my biggest concern.
Okay. The other one I thought about doing is, I don't know if you remember this, but when they go to Vegas and they literally order a mail order bride from like Russia or something to marry one of Bam's friends. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but they legit go and get married. And I remember listening to the commentary, it being like, yeah, that girl like tried attacking him like a week after that happened. Like she actually moved in with him and shit. And they had like a crazy fucking
what?
I'll try to find it. But yeah, they legit get one of the guys married in Vegas from a girl they order on the internet. She like a total green card thing, obviously.
Another but, Eddie tie-in. There's a video of Bam and Eddie together like promoting some con that they did.
Fuck off, that's awesome.
He's like, I'm Bam Margera and I'm Eddie Furlong and we're gonna be at whatever con on whatever day. I'm like, man, if I met them at the same time, I literally think I would have just like
combusted.
Combusted, yeah.
Imagine the conversation those two could have. They should do a podcast together because their stories, I mean, very similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably about the same age. Bam might be a little younger.
Yeah.
But I would totally listen to that. They could talk all day. Just 2 years difference. Bam's only 2 years younger. So same age. Yeah. Yeah. So all right.
Maybe we can DM Eddie, our new best friend.
He hasn't looked at any of my shit, but I'm surprised he hasn't blocked me yet. I've only been blocked thus far by Ryan Starr from American Idol, Heather from Rock of Love. I think that's it.
Sammy Sweetheart has me blocked.
Which I love
my,
that
that's for my
you.
Biggest flex.
Yeah.
I would block me too if I were her.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about, Justine? Any other fun things?
Not really. This was just fun and I'm excited for our next episode.
Me too. Yeah, we will see each other on 420. Going to celebrate the holiday together a little bit. I hope you guys are all enjoying at home, however you choose to celebrate 420. Yeah, we'll be back soon for another Surreal Shore Loves the 2000s. Thanks for listening. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, Justine, if they're listening on mine?
Oh, if you're listening on Erica's feed, you can find me at The Shore Store Pod, all things Jersey Shore, Floor Bama Shore, but mainly I just talk about Vanderpump Rules, if I'm going to be honest. So yeah, Shore Store.
Yes. You can find me at Surreality Podcast. I'm talking all your VH1 early 2000s celebrity era shit. Hogan Knows Best. Flavor of Love. Rock of Love. I just did a great Flavor of Love episode with Justine and Amanda from Canada. And yeah, we're going to keep them coming.
And I can't wait to listen back to the Meet the Parents episode.
Fuck yeah. It'll be out just in a few minutes, probably here. All right, Justine. Love you.
Like they say in the tampon biz. See you next
experience.